This was a rigged, disgraceful trial. The real verdict is going to be November 5th by the people.
Chairman, celebrity, billionaire, person of the year, President of the United States. These are just a few of the titles which have been either achieved or given to Donald J. Trump over his lifetime. However, New York Justice Merchan just sentenced Donald Trump the title of felon. For the next 30 minutes, we will discuss the future of the 2024 campaign and if the Republican nominee can still win the presidency. I'm Skynell Hughes, and this is Perspective. Former President Donald Trump was found guilty on all counts in his Manhattan hush money trial, marking the end of the first criminal trial of a former president, as well as the first to end in a conviction. Now, Trump was charged with 34 counts of falsifying New York business records in order to conceal damaging information and unlawful activity from American voters before and after the 2016 election. Now, each of which carries a sentence of up to 4 years in prison and a $5,000 fine. Now, what normally would have been charged as a misdemeanor in the past, it was only in the closing arguments did the public, as well as the Trump defense team, learn how all of this was being made into a felony. District Attorney Alvin Bragg was able to convince the jury that former President Trump falsified business records in New York State to conceal another crime. The crime? To influence the election. An election for federal office. Now, a crime which the federal Justice Department refused to even handle. Now, people outside the courthouse erupted into cheers and boos, some holding giant signs celebrating the jury's verdict.
It was unbelievable, disgraceful. They should lock Biden's stupid old up. That's what they should do. Yeah, look at the mental people Biden's behind. Look, look at how she's dressed. You're going to take that into consideration? Y'all tweaking, y'all fucking.
Trump is guilty!
I'm just desensitized. I'm glad that it happened, but we've been living in this comedy show nightmare. I don't even know what to call it at this point.
I love your signs.
I
was
so like, I made the sign like,
no, it's great.
Like so many years ago.
Yes. This is the very first moment where we get to pretend like our democracy is salvageable and maybe at some point we can turn it into something that actually represents all of us instead of just the chosen few.
I feel real good about the verdict because no one above the law. And I believe that next step, they should be locked up like everybody else. Lock them up.
Who would have thought that we would have a president or a former president who's a convicted felon?
Trump even spoke immediately after the ruling and blamed the judge and location of the trial.
This was a disgrace. This was a rigged trial by a conflicted judge who was corrupt. They wouldn't give us a venue change. We were at 5% or 6% in this district, in this area.
As expected, almost immediately, as if it had been planned and prepared, the Biden administration used this verdict to fundraise. There's only one way to keep Donald Trump out of the Oval Office, at the ballot box, and then asked for donations. But it was actually Donald Trump who saw record fundraising following the judge's decision.
In the history of politics, I believe, maybe I'm wrong, somebody will find that I'm wrong, maybe, but I don't think so. They raised with small money donors a record $39 million in about a 10-hour period. No, think of that. I like those people.
In the first 24 hours following the verdict, the Trump campaign had raised $52.8 million through the online digital fundraising platform. That's more than $2 million per hour. And nearly 30% were first-time donors who had never even given through WinRed before. And while Trump has made the promise to appeal the decision, the next step will be sentencing, which Merchan will deliver July 11th at 10 a.m., just 4 days before the opening of the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. If sentenced to jail time, it would be expected the judge would have Trump serve all time concurrently and could happen even before an appeal hearing date has been set. Well, let's break down this case. The ruling, the impact, the presidential election with our panel. Our friend Lionel, who is a legal media analyst and host of Lionel Nation. Gavin Wax, who is the president of the New York Young Republicans. And Robert Petillo, a civil rights attorney and political activist. Thank you so much for joining me, gentlemen, on this very historical moment in time that we are living here in America. And I want to start off with just some perspective so we can tell sort of our audience where the three of you are coming from. President Joe Biden won the Manhattan District by 85% in 2020. Judge Juan Merchant has donated to President Joe Biden's campaign $35 and other progressive organizations. I want to ask each of you, with this jury pool and the judge, was Donald Trump given a fair trial and due process? I'm going to start. Lionel, yes or no?
No. Okay. Absolutely not. In fact, very, very quickly, it's not just that he gave $35, but remember his daughter was a very, and is a very, very key operative in Democratic fundraising and the like, and PR moves. Remember also that Justice Alito's wife and Justice Thomas's wife, both of their wives, have been the bases for demands for their recusal. But when Judge Merchan, who, by the way, is a state court judge who does not enjoy lifetime tenure, when he was asked to recuse, he said, no, no, it's irrelevant. This was a kangaroo court. Trump never had a chance from the moment he walked in there. And the next time somebody brings up a motion for a change of venue, they're going to cite this case.
And Lionel, I bet since you are an attorney, you are in New York, I'm sure that you're very familiar with this court. Let's head down south. Robert, you're in Atlanta. Do you think Trump was actually given shown due process in all of this?
Yes. And the thing is, due process is a word of art. It has a definition. It means that you have notice and a hearing. That's what due process is. It's not some kind of magical word. Did Donald Trump know that there was a hearing coming up? Yes. Did he have a hearing where he had the opportunity to contest the charges against him? Yes. Therefore, due process was satisfied in that situation. Now, on the question, did he get a fair trial? Yes, he got a fair trial. If there's reversible error, then that will be taken to the to a higher tribunal and will be reversed on reversible error. But ostensibly, having watched the trial the same way everyone else has, I didn't see any specific prejudice being issued against President Trump based upon his political affiliations. Now, we're going to start saying that, well, you have to look at the politics of every single judge prior to trial, then I think there's many places in this country where you have African-American communities that vote for Democrats at 80 and 90%, but then you have Republican Federalist Society judges that represent a very different worldview to them. And I think all those people say they're not getting a fair trial. Once you start breaking the American judiciary down by these political machinations, then you break the entire system down. That's how democracies fall. And I think President Trump has to start supporting the idea of actually having an independent judiciary.
Oh, I know that made you laugh, Lionel, but I've got to get Gavin here on this conversation because I want to know. I imagine Gavin probably agrees with Lionel that he was not shown, but I've got to also talk about the response by Republicans, Gavin, because while Biden tried to fundraise off the verdict, Trump campaign sent out a statement saying it shattered fundraising records by bringing in more than $50 million in the first 24 hours, and now I know it's even beyond that. What does this tell you about how the public is handling this verdict?
Well, the vast majority of the American public are losing faith in our institutions, particularly in the judiciary and the courts. And this politicized witch hunt only added fuel to that fire. And we're seeing with President Trump hitting all-time high fundraising numbers, approaching, I believe, $200 million last time I saw, far exceeding anything that President Biden has brought in. It just goes to show where the American public's perception of our judiciary is right now. And to answer the original question, President Trump never had a fair shake in Manhattan. I mean, any judge of any sense would have recused themselves, given the background of Juan Merchan and his family and his political affiliations, not to mention the jury instructions were absolutely ridiculous. And let's look at the very basis of this case. You know, they contorted it into a felony to get beyond the statute of limitations, but they never exactly explained what the underlying crime was. Who is the victim? No one would have prosecuted this in any other jurisdiction. And even in this jurisdiction, Alvin Bragg's predecessor refused to prosecute. So the entire thing was a complete joke. We were never going to get an acquittal. The best we were hoping for was a hung jury. I was hanging out hope for that, no pun intended, but obviously that didn't pan out. And what we're seeing today is a complete disgrace on the American judicial system.
Gavin, from your observation, can a Republican, especially a known Republican, get a fair trial in New York City as of now going forward?
No, I don't believe so. I think this is an issue that we're going to have to address in a serious matter. This is not a place, New York City, where I'm right now in Manhattan, that a well-known, established public figure that happens to be an outspoken conservative or Republican can get a fair shake. And I think it all adds insult to injury when you consider the fact that this district attorney and many of these politically appointed judges refuse to prosecute real crimes. We have tons of felons walking the streets, convicted felons who have rap sheets going back years, violent felons that they refuse to incarcerate, that they let out to walk the streets again with slaps on the wrist. And here they are wasting taxpayer money, resources, going after the leading contender for president of the United States on these trumped up charges. Again, no pun intended. It just goes to show what a disgrace the Manhattan and the New York judiciary have become.
Well, speaking of felon, one of the biggest questions is, can President Trump still vote in this presidential election as a convicted felon? There's actually some nuance around it as well, because he's technically a resident of Florida and was convicted by the New York State Court. Lionel, I have to look to you on this. Can you explain where we stand? Can Trump vote?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. In fact, Governor DeSantis already guaranteed it. But I've got to say something. Please, Scotty, to my dear friend, my fellow brother, member of the bar, Mr. Patillo, you've got to be kidding me. You're one of the best civil rights lawyers around, and you're telling me that if you walked in with some client who was absolutely railroaded, you turn to your client and say, well, we got due process here. We have a notice and the opportunity to be here. Sorry there, pal. Why do you think cases were moved to federal courts versus state courts in Mississippi? They had notice. They had federal. They were put on notice. They needed a federal court to get away from this entrenched, this racism. And understand something. As my colleague, my friend here, from the Republican Society, very, very quickly, president, according to count one, of falsifying business records in the first degree. I'm looking at the indictment, section 175.10. Imagine this, Scotty. You're being charged, ready for this, with intending to defraud someone and the intent to commit another crime, something, and concealing the commission of something. Now, if you think that's due process, I got a bridge to sell you. And one more thing. Let me explain something. This wasn't hush money. There's no law against hush money. And by the way, if there is, why the hell wasn't Stormy Daniels charged with committing a crime? Because she signed it. She solicited it in the first place. There's nothing wrong with this. This wasn't. And the idea that he paid her, that this is an election thing for paying to cover up bad news, that's not according to the Federal Election Commission, which Mr. White would have testified to had he been allowed to.
Absolutely. And so I've got to look at you on this one, Robert, because there is the fact now that Trump is entitled to Secret Service protection. As looking at the case from the law, from also a Democrat standpoint, if put behind bars, correction officers would in turn be responsible for protecting the Secret Service agents as well. July 11th is a sentencing. Do you actually think there's any chance Trump serves jail time?
I don't, but we also have to look at the fact that this is not a unique situation globally. We just had the former president of Pakistan, Imran Khan, who was jailed. We've had world leaders who've been jailed internationally. So it's not as if this is the first time this has happened. We've had governors be jailed here in the United States. I think about Rob Blagojevich. We've had mayors. We've had senators. So the idea that there's no way to make the type of accommodation for a president to serve jail time, I think that is creating a new class that was never intended by our founding fathers, a new class that says, well, you simply cannot be jailed once you reach a certain status in America. And that's when you start becoming a nation of men as opposed to a nation of laws. I don't think that is what the Federalists intended when they drafted our Constitution. So, no, I don't think he will be jailed, but I think that if he was sentenced to be so, that we'll be able to make these types of accommodations necessary in order to ensure his safety and security, while also he will be able to pay his debt to society.
Well, speaking of accommodations, we also have a political campaign going on. And so, Gavin, I've got to ask you, there is a rumor that the RNC potentially could be moved to July 4th, just in case this judge decides to put Donald Trump behind bars. Do you think that is a good move for Republicans, and do you think it will actually happen, as Representative Corey Mills has called for?
Oh, I think it's a great idea. I think we need to do this immediately. Nothing about how this judge has conducted himself throughout this trial gives me any hope that he won't try to immediately send President Trump to Rikers Island. So I think if the RNC was smart, they would move their convention, at least do it virtually, which I believe the Democrats are doing to allow Biden on the ballot in Ohio. So it does have precedent. But speaking of precedent, the former speaker on this show just compared, you know, what happened in Pakistan and other countries to what's happening in the United States. I think we've hit a real low when we're comparing our judicial system to that of Pakistan or many other countries that routinely do jail political opposition, do jail and members of the opposition and whatever party they happen to be in on charges that are completely ridiculous in order to win an electoral fight. I think this is a new low for our country. Just because it happens elsewhere doesn't justify it. And listen, no one's arguing that just because you're a politician, you should be immune. But there are certainly many cases of other notable figures, whether in the Democrat Party or others, who have been, you know, guilty of many crimes in the public eye, and they certainly have not been prosecuted and are certainly not facing jail time. So what we're seeing is not just an issue of immunity, it's an issue of double standards, where many people, if they happen to be within a certain ruling class or ruling party, are able to walk scot-free on many, you know, supposed issues of a criminal nature, of a legal nature, but President Trump is held to a completely different standard. It's the standards that are at issue, not just this argument that everyone should have blanket immunity for anything they happen to do if they happen to be an elected official.
Lionel, I know you're biting to get back in. Let's hold on. Stay right there. Lionel, Gavin, and Robert, stay right there because we need to take a break. But when we come back, we're going to continue to discuss the fallout of the Trump guilty verdict as this goes beyond just the 2024 election. And we will ask, how could this impact the many cases the former president is still facing?
What is Bharat? Is it a travel ad? Is it a Bollywood poster? Is it the deepest yoga center in the world? Or is it something deeper, more complex, multifaceted? Let's talk without cliches. Let's talk Bharat.
Known in Vietnam as the American War, the Vietnam War lasted for almost two decades and dragged in numerous countries.
Nhưng mà người cầm đầu của Mỹ nói rằng sang Việt Nam là như thế giúp Việt Nam. Và thì còn anh em thì không thống kê được.
Hundreds of thousands of American troops were sent to the country to back the South Vietnamese Army.
Má bay rồi nó xả. Xóa cho tiền đâu có biết cái chất độc tiền. Không biết cái chất độc tiền mà xa này mới biết. Xa này ra Hà Nội là đó là chất độc quá à.
American soldiers murdered resistors mercilessly, burned down entire villages and spread dangerous chemicals.
Cần nghĩ lại những người Mỹ, những người lính Mỹ rất trẻ và họ nhận thức không.
Did the Americans ever fully acknowledge what they did? And are the Vietnamese veterans ready to forgive?
Cảm nhận là gia đình chúng tôi mất mất trong chiến tranh, mà cả quê hương đất nước cũng bị mất mất trong cái sự đau thương của gia đình Mỹ.
Welcome back to Perspective. I'm your host, Scotty Nell Hughes. I want to focus on the judicial aspect of this ruling, as the impact might not just be limited to the present and Donald Trump. Let's bring back in our panel, Lionel, legal and media analyst, and host of Lionel Nation, Gavin Wax, president of the New York Young Republicans, and Robert Petillo, civil rights attorney and political activist. I said, Lionel, I knew you were waiting to get in on this. I got to start off by asking, you can finish your thoughts from the previous section. But how does a district court get the power to rule on a federal issue, thus making this a felony and eligible for jail time?
Because they're going to be claiming that there is some concomitant state fraud provision for this. But Scotty, let me just explain something. This is lawfare, plain and simple. And I want people out there to understand, if you're Steve Bannon or Rudy Giuliani or Roger Stone or Alex Jones or Harvey Weinstein or Peter Navarro or Diddy or Epstein, a little late with that one, Alec Baldwin, Richard Nixon, throughout our history, we've seen how when you are targeted, when you don't serve a purpose anymore, they are after you. Let me tell you one thing about these Democrats. They are so good. They are vicious. And the biggest thing is that with the Republicans in particular is that they never thought these people would be this ruthless. They never thought for a moment. And Trump's biggest mistake was he never went after Hillary Clinton, who, by the way, it was just surfaced this week that in 2016, she and her campaign basically did the same thing involving this Steele memo, where she and her basically her committee or what have you, basically paid for this particular lie and called it a business expense, or rather illegal expenses versus something else. So this is, goes on all the time. But be careful, Joe Biden, as he say in Jack Reacher. Remember, you wanted this. You want lawfare? Two people can play at this. Same thing goes for your evil spawn Hunter.
But Lionel, I got a question. You gave me a long list. Some of those people deserve to be convicted. Some of those people deserve to be targeted. I hate to put all of that group in together, regardless of being a celebrity staff. Some of them were really, really bad people. So how can you say one is targeted? Weinstein? I agree. They didn't need him anymore. They had all the information for them. But that doesn't mean that they still should not have been brought to truth.
The point is, he was railroaded because they used past bad acts, which is just a travesty. So, listen, this is lawfare, plain and simple. Well, doesn't mean you're a good person. It's still lawfare.
Well, like I said, I just look at some of these crimes probably did need to come to truth. Same thing we're seeing with Kevin Spacey right now. But I digress. I want to bring in Robert because Alvin Bragg case was supposed to be the weakest of the four criminal cases against Trump, but it was the timeliness to happen before the election. Robert, you just recently ran an election against a judge in another one of Trump's cases. I want your perspective. Could this verdict change the game in Trump's other cases? Let me point out, you're in Atlanta. That's kind of where the focus goes next.
I don't think that it will. I think that very much these prosecutors are operating very independently. The Fannie Willis case doesn't depend on any operative facts from the Alvin Bragg case, for example. Now, when it comes to sentencing down the line, if somebody comes in for sentencing and they have 34 felony convictions previously, then that will go into sentencing for future cases. But I do think that when we start making these cases strictly about the judges, it's a slippery slope. For example, in the race I just ran in, conservative media kind of rallied around the other judge, and Megyn Kelly tweeted about it, Steve Sadow tweeted about it. But then we started looking into it, the other judge was the same person who was the inspector general that refused to certify the Trump election. He was appointed by Brian Kemp, who's an enemy of President Trump. And I think many conservatives later realized that, well, we were rallying around this person because we thought this would be the pro-Trump person. And in reality, you end up hoisted by your own petard. So I think that you have to make these issues about the rule of law and not simply about trying to attack judges. You just need to have judges who are fair, unbiased, and who apply the law. And when we start attacking these judges on an individual basis, we start losing the essence of our criminal justice system.
Well, it's interesting you bring that, because I want to go back up north to Gavin, to New York, because we've seen this mass exodus of businesses from New York in the past. Do you think you're going to see more due to this case being brought? Do you think this should be worrisome? Two businesses in the area that don't agree with necessarily the political agenda of the city. And do you think other businesses might consider relocating? I mean, look at what just happened to the NRA in the state of New York.
Oh, absolutely. We're going to see a continuing exodus of New York, not just of businesses, but of individuals. I mean, many businesses that operate in New York understand that this is, a pay-to-play town. You know, you have to buy off the local Democrat Party machine, the party bosses, to get favorable outcomes in a variety of matters, business or otherwise. And this just makes it even more explicit, but it also goes a step further and says that if you happen to cross the political bosses, the machines here in New York that are incredibly entrenched and effectively pick all of these judges, by the way, these judges are handpicked in these Democrat Party contests and these Democrat primaries. They're all handpicked by the machines. If you happen to cross this machine, they will come after you ruthlessly, to what Lionel said earlier. The Democrats are ruthless. I admire them to a degree. I wish we were only a fraction as ruthless in return. If we return to a semblance of reciprocity, I do think that this lawfare would end overnight. But the Democrats understand that many Republicans are weak and are unable to punch back with any sort of effectiveness, whether in lawfare or otherwise. So they recognize that they could get away with this and continue to do it. But I worry for the future of our country, the future of our institutions, if this continues to unfold, because it's going to be, a circular firing squad. And we're all going to go down with this ship if we continue to use the law as a means to enact political ends against our opponents.
That brings me to a question. Yes, Robert.
Scotty, just real quick, as somebody who literally just went through this ending a week ago, me and my family got death threats from literally the day that we announced we were running for judge in this. It was from people from the far right fringes. I received a letter from a far right person saying that if I tried to get Trump, that they would come after me and my family. It was a picture of me going to my mailbox that they had taken from the street. So this idea that somehow Republicans are just sitting around reading the Bible and knitting and wishing that Paul would and Ma would take care of the Constitution, that's not the reality. We've gotten to a point in America now where you have far right-wing forces that threaten the lives of any individual, whether it be a person on the grand jury, a prosecutor, even a candidate for judge, with violence and just for being involved in these cases. This is a tipping point. And I had to go on the radio in Atlanta and remind people that my household is a Second Amendment household. Come get it if you want, but you're going to find out the hard way. And I don't think that should be a prerequisite for running for office in this country. The idea of you keeping a couple of ARs by the bed just because you have a political disagreement with the other side of the aisle.
And unfortunately, that's what our country's turned into. So, Lionel, I know you want to respond, but I've got to also talk about in these last few minutes, President Joe Biden riding this fine line with the Trump case now that his own son, Hunter, is facing his own trial. He came out chastising those who called foul on Trump's verdict. But then said the charges against his own son were politically motivated. So is Biden trying to have it both ways, just like it was just pointed out by Robert, that that hate exists on both sides in this case? They're capable of it.
Yes. By the way, to my friend Robert, that is disgusting and despicable. Anybody who would do that, that's horrible. I don't care for any particular reason. So I stand with you, and I'm so glad this is over. And by the way, Georgia lost out with a great judge like you, and I'm not being gratuitous. I mean that sincerely. But let me explain something, one thing, Scotty, not to correct. Alvin Bragg didn't bring any case. It was a DOJ. It was Matthew Colangelo. He didn't bring a case. Alvin Bragg turned this case down before, as did Cy Vance, as did the second, as the Southern District, as did the FEC. And number two, if you think Fannie Willis in Georgia is sitting back with her lover boy crafting racketeering charges on her own, you gotta be kidding me. They are given direct orders with this. If you want to go far in this world, if you have one day perhaps a governorship, federal judgeship, whatever it is, you play ball with us and we'll pay you back. So this idea that they on their own, that Fannie Willis came up with racketeering, charging him with like some kind of Gambino crime family, when half of those folks never even met each other, don't even make me laugh. Look, it is what it is. It's lawfare, it's unfair, and it's un-American. And that's what it is, period.
And that's how we're going to end this. Thank you so much to our panel, Lionel, Gavin Wax, Robert Petillo. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
Scotty.
In 2017, BuzzFeed reported $27,000 was paid by Democrat Congressman John Conyers to settle a previously undisclosed sexual harassment complaint. Now, this was the most information we, the public, received about the more than $17 million of taxpayer dollars which had been paid out since 1997 to settle a variety of congressional workplace claims, including sexual harassment. In light of this, it seems quite dramatic for Donald Trump to be facing paying $450 million plus possible jail time for verdicts which were handed down in New York district courtrooms. All decisions being handed down by judges and district attorneys with long histories of contributing and campaigning to the Democratic Party. The party whose current president is a member of and the only person standing in his way of re-election is Donald J. Trump. How any of this can be seen as anything but targeting one's political opponent is beyond me. But hey, that's just my perspective. I'm Skynell Hughes. Thank you for watching.